Hi, my name is Ibea Manare. And I'm grateful for another day clean today. And I'm grateful because when we see friends, you know, that we haven't seen for a while, it's kind of a joy time, you know. And that's how I feel today. I haven't seen Ellen for a while. And I saw Ellen when she first got clean, pretty much. And she became my neighbor, you know. She became my neighbor right around the corner from me, and we ended up having the same sponsor at some point, mm-hmm. You know, and we became sisters in the fellowship, and we have, I see Ellen go through a lot of stuff, you know, and I see her working on her self-centeredness. She was having a big problem with that, and that was because of pain, and, you know, it's not for me to tell you her story, you know, but I'm a witness of that. I'm a witness of her recovery. She's happily married, great relationship she have today, and, you know, she's very lovable, and she'll help anybody, anyone that needs help. So let me introduce you to Ellen. Let's welcome her. She came real far from Lakewood.
Wow, I'm an addict. My name is Ellen. Let me just first welcome everybody. If you're new and you're just coming around, you're in the right place. And I don't know, I just had like this trip down memory lane. I turned my head and somebody said my name, and I saw somebody in this room that I hadn't seen since I was in treatment. And it's really awesome to see her here today. I'm pretty excited about that, and I can't wait to catch up after the meeting. But, you know, the ride up here was long. That doesn't lie. It was a long ride because I'm not real familiar with this area, and but I made it, and I'm sorry for being late. I need to apologize first off. But I'll tell you a little bit about myself, where I've come from, how I've gotten to the point that I'm at today, and what's going on in my life today. I guess it was almost 6 years ago was my downfall, and I lost my children, I lost my home, I lost everything to the disease of addiction, and knew at that point I needed to do something to make a change in my life, and I went to an inpatient treatment center, probably much like this one, and at that point there was an H&I meeting brought into the facility, and it was for people that were on the inside and on the outside as well, and people welcomed me, and they started talking about things in the meeting that I really didn't understand at the time. As time went on, I started to understand, and I can reflect now on what they were talking about, and it started to make a whole lot more sense to me once I started to read the literature and stuff around here. But there was just somebody's smile in that room. This woman just smiled at me and welcomed me and told me that I was in the right place and that I should stay. That, you know, eventually things would get better and my life would turn around if I took some of the suggestions that I heard here. And from that day forward, that's what I've done. I've taken suggestions, you know, and that led me into trying to put myself into a treatment center, into a long-term treatment center. Of my own accord, you know, DCF had my children and they weren't giving them back, and no matter what I could do and stand on my head and how many different ways I tried to manipulate the court system, they were keeping the kids and there was nothing I could do. You know, and they were with my two ex-husbands and all this drama was rolling out and they were all using, and but all I knew from that moment was that I didn't want to get high again and I needed to get help and I didn't know how to stay clean and I needed to find out how. So I called around this place, that place. They don't take insurance, or if you don't have insurance, you can't go there. We're full. We can't help you. We don't have any beds. And 90 days this went on. And finally, I found a facility out in Western Palm Beach County and went for an orientation there. And they said that they would keep me. And they would let me, you know, they would go pack your bags, come back in 2 weeks, and you can stay here. And it was, you know, they sold me on that it was going to be a 90-day program. And I really believed them when they said it was going to be a 90-day program. And, you know, and I thought I was doing all the right things, but day in and day out, there I was in this treatment facility with my name on the board. And I was being pulled up every day, and my character defects were being listed on the board every day by the counselor. And I would just sit there and say, these people are freaking crazy. They have no idea who I am. You know, and I didn't get it when I was in treatment. It was finally after all the people that were there before I got there, that they all started to leave, that I started to have to be by myself more because I really didn't have the patience to deal with the craziness of the people that were walking right in off the street because of my self-centeredness that Yvette was talking about. So I ended up isolating myself and reading a lot of books, and one of those books happened to be The Basic Text. And I was the huge Basic Text on burn treatment, and I knew the book inside out, and I could read all the readings because prior to going to treatment, I went to 90 meetings in 90 days from when I first got clean outside of going to treatment. And then I went into this facility and I stayed there for 4.5 months. And it was only through those last 30 days of sitting isolating by myself, of getting close to a God of my understanding, that I start to allow things to start penetrating. I started to understand what was going on. I started inviting a loving God into my life, and I started to see things happening that were proving to me that there was a God in my life. You know, they had said that I had done something really horrible with one of my children, and they thought that I had given him Oxycontin, and it wasn't true, and I just prayed and prayed and prayed for the truth to come out. And then finally the results came from the crime lab, and they were all negative, and it wasn't true, and they dropped the pending charges. And so little things like that started happening. Things started to come to fruition based on the things that I was praying about, and I started to see God intervening in my life, you know. And I got out of treatment, and I met Yvette. And, you know, we'd make the same meetings, and we hung out with the same people, and we had the same sponsor, and we did all the things that they teach us to do here. You know, you go hang out with people, you meet and greet, you go have coffee, you go and you do things together. You know, we went down to Miami and went to a carnival or whatever it is together, and we rode roller coasters, and we acted silly like the children that we are inside. And you know, Yvette helped me acquire the first place that I had on my home, my own, when I got clean. And we were neighbors, and she helped me move in, and she helped me find my way around the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous, and for that I'm going to be forever grateful. She introduced me to a lot of neat people, and if you stay here long enough, you meet hundreds of really neat people around here that tell really neat stories, and they've come from all walks of life, and they're just the most wonderful, loving, and giving people that you can ever imagine. You know, when I think back when I was home with the kids and using, and I was isolating then, and I was just, I didn't have anybody in my life. Now my phone number is, you know, just, my phone blows up all the time, and every, you know, and I'm calling people all the time, and I'm doing this thing called Narcotics Anonymous, and participating in my recovery on a daily basis. You know, I got a sponsor. I've had several sponsors since I've been here. I didn't stay with that original sponsor. I grew and moved on, and I got another sponsor, and she was clean and crazy. She had a tremendous amount of clean time, but the amount of recovery was very dismal, and you know, that was short-lived. And then I was, because I knew everything, and nobody could tell me anything still, I was just like, you know, I know better than everybody else, and there's nobody here in Palm Beach County or down here in the south part of Florida that I want to sponsor me that's a woman. So I decided that I was going to get a guy to sponsor me. Well, my plan, and God laughs, because that was short-lived. Post that, I ended up getting a sponsor that I've had now for almost 4 years. And she's really awesome, and she teaches me the steps, she teaches me the traditions. We talk about the concepts. You know, I apply all the stuff that I learn here in my life on a regular basis. I'm really big on, if I don't understand what somebody's talking about, or there's a term or a word used, when I first got here, I was in the dictionary trying to understand what everybody was talking about, because I wanted to know. I was scared to death. I didn't want to get high. You know, going back to when I was in treatment, it was like a women's dormitory. It was like being in college. it was just like a woman's dorm, and I was there to just learn whatever I could. It was like going back to college for me, to learn how to live life, to learn coping skills. Do I think I learned a lot when I was in treatment? No. Did I learn how to be patient? Probably, yeah. Some of the spiritual principles that we talk about, I was forced to learn in treatment because patience was a huge thing. If I didn't have patience, they were going to throw me out. And, you know, they held my kids over me a lot. Years went by, and the courts never gave the kids back to me. They decided that they, you know, the kids got older. Three of them have purged out of the system since, and they're doing great. One lives on his own with his girlfriend, and he's been there for 3 years now, and he's getting ready to start his own business. One of my other children, he lives with friends, and he's doing really well and going to school full-time and works full-time. The other one has decided to come home about 2.5 years ago. He didn't like want to go back to court and try to make it happen through the court system. He just made a decision. It was time to come home, and he came home, and now he's out of the court system because he's purged from age. But he's working full-time, and he goes to school full-time. And the younger guy, I don't see him very often. He's going to be 14 years old next month, and that's the life that he's choose to live. He wants to live with his father. He doesn't want to have anything to do with me. And you know what? I have a God in my life, and I'm okay with that today. I don't have to force anything to happen with this child. He has a God in his life, and eventually someday, if it's God's will, he'll want to be part of my life again. As harsh as that may sound, I love him, but I love him from afar. I monitor what's going on in school, because that's what I was taught to do here. You know, I've had aches and pains, and I've cried, and I've kicked, and I've screamed, and I've been in and out of court, and cried in these meetings, and talked about all my tales of woe and how horrible it is. But no matter what, I didn't have to pick up. You know, I've been really sick in recovery, where I've spent 10 weeks at a time in the hospital, and lost the feelings in my legs and couldn't walk, and didn't have to pick up behind it. You know, I've had some real huge trials and tribulations. You know, and then if you want to learn about your character defects, you go ahead and get in a relationship in recovery. Because you will definitely find out about who you are. You get into a relationship in recovery when you're trying to practice spiritual principles in your life, you're going to find out, and you're going to be tested by the God of your understanding how spiritual you really are not going to be on a daily basis. So I got into this relationship when I was about 18 months clean, and you know, in fact, Yvette was there the first day that I met him. And somebody that we were standing next to at the time, I was standing there, we were at a mutual friend's housewarming party, and all of a sudden this guy's standing there, and he's DJing, and he's singing, and I'm just like, wow, damn, he's really good looking. And a friend of ours says, and he's married, Ellen. And I was like, well, I didn't say I wanted to fucking marry him. I said he was good looking. Well, P.S., he's divorced and remarried. We are now married. We've been married since September, and we're 4 years into this relationship. So, you know, I can tell you that I haven't done this all perfect along the way. You know, I've stepped on people's toes, and usually when that happens, I end up receiving end of a lot of pain. And, you know, but there's been people here that have loved me and have treated me with love and respect and have picked me up when I've fallen down. I got to say, one of the biggest things and one of the biggest attributes of keeping me clean still here today is the amount of service work that I do for Narcotics Anonymous. You know, all of my volunteering and the things that I do to help others, to help people stay clean and to teach them what I've learned along the way, that's what keeps me clean. You know, early on, I think I had maybe a week clean, and I was on the activities committee in the area that I was from. You know, they told me, you know, the only requirement to join the activities committee was a white key tag. And I got involved. And they said to me, you know what? You know how to write? You know how to read? Sure. Here's a pen and a piece of paper. We need a secretary because our secretary hasn't shown up. And in fact, she's relapsed. So right off the bat, I was the secretary of the activities committee and got involved with all those activities. And then they railroaded me into the convention committee, and off I was running with the convention committee and just doing things like picking up the fruit and stuff that was needed for the hospitality room. You know, whatever I could do to get out of myself and keep myself busy so I wouldn't get high that day. That's what I did. And that rolled on to, right after that I went into treatment for 4.5 months, like I told you. When I got out of treatment is when I met Yvette, and then I was the GSR of my home group right after treatment, and I rolled right into doing area service. Got really involved in the literature because I think our literature is so important and it's something we really need to be involved with. The basic text study is going on with the review of the basic text right now for the 6th edition, and I've been actively participating in that still today. So, I don't know. I've done everything in service that I could possibly do from the home group level on up to the South Florida regional level. I've served as the regional treasurer, and that was just such a wonderful experience for me. You know, when I took myself into the regional level, I met so many people that had a significant amount of recovery. They didn't just have clean time. Those people are serious about their recovery, and they've shared that with me, and I've had the opportunity to break bread with a lot of people that have taught me some of the things that they went through in area service and regional service, because a lot of us talk really bad about area service, and we talk and say it's area circus, and nobody wants to get involved, and how crazy it is. But, you know, the truth be known, if you stick around some of the winners, they're going to tell you about their experiences and the trials and tribulations that they had when they were coming up the ladder through service. And they're going to give you some really good ideas of how to get through it in a spiritual way. You know, and that's all this is for me. I'm trying to live a spiritual life. I'm trying not to hurt the next person. I'm trying not to, you know, if somebody crosses my path and is nasty to me, I don't have to turn around and be nasty right back to them. My life's good today. You know, I've just gone through some job change and gone from one position into a totally different position. I went from being in the inner workings of a mortgage lending business into doing sales in the mortgage lending business. And it's a huge undertaking for me because now I'm seeing the other side of it. I've been on the inside of this business for 17 years, and now I'm going onto the outside of the business, and I'm getting a rude awakening. You know, I'm now seeing, you know, when I was being such a blocker on some things that were going on the inside, of how hard it is for the people that are in those sales positions. So it's the only position I haven't had in this business, and I wanted to just give it a try. And, you know, so far so good. You know, God's got my back. I've had a lot of fear going through this, and that's that self-centered fear we talk about in the triangle of self-obsession. And I've walked through those fears, and I'm glad that I'm doing the things that I'm doing today. But it's only through talking to people in this program. Like, I can pick up the phone and call my sponsor and be honest with her and tell her, I'm afraid. You know, I'm really scared, and I don't know if I can do this. But I don't have to tell everybody that I'm afraid, because what happens when I tell everybody my business, it becomes gossip and everybody in the room is talking about everybody, and then I can find myself pushing myself to the outside if I'm to do that. So I'm really careful with the people that I select to be a part of my life nowadays, to tell them the intimate things that are going on with me, but I will love and be a part of anybody's life that needs help. So I've had to be real selective, and I've learned that from banging my head along the way, because I was one of those that I had 200 numbers in my phone. My phone was ringing all day long. I was running for meetings from Stewart down to Key West. I was making every service commitment there was. And then all of a sudden, my business was everybody's business. And I started to get a real resentment against the people in Narcotics Anonymous. So I had to be really careful. And through working some steps and working with my sponsor, I've learned that I can be real selective and just share my most intimate stuff of what's really going on with me and my fears and things like that with a select few bunch of people to bounce ideas off of. And that's what I do today. You know, I love NA. It's saved and changed my life dramatically. It's given me a great deal of acceptance, a huge deal of acceptance with a lot of things that go on. You know, now when things happen that I don't like, I can just be like, okay, I don't like what's going on, but, you know, and try to find a way to make a difference to, so it doesn't happen like that again. But I don't have to keep asserting myself over and over again and trying to force anything to happen, because when I do that, the outcome is never pretty. I don't know. I haven't been to a meeting in a week, and that's probably not a good thing for me, but I really want to hear what everybody else has to share here tonight, so I'm going to close with that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.